Everybody remain standing. Brother Avon, ask your blessings on the service if you would. The lily of the valley. 447. 447. What did I say? The lily of the valley is what it is. What? Thank you. ready to take your regular offering. I don't know whether to ask. Would you have another one that you could sing a cappella, Sister Reem? You did? All right. We'll get Sister Reem to sing it, and Brother, I won't use that bad word, but Brother Reem can come after. Ask your blessings on the offering.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the good spirit this morning. Thank you for the beautiful sun. Lord, we thank you for everyone that's came out today, Lord. We pray you'll bless. We pray you'll bless Brother Reem as he comes up in a few moments to bring the message, Lord. We pray you'll bless the offering, the giver, and the one that may have nothing. Lord, we give you all the honor, glory, and the praise. In Christ's name. Amen.
Sister Reem and Brother Reem can come on up. No hurry.
I'm having a little sinus problems this morning, so if my voice cracks, forgive me. I don't know what's happened, but somehow. When our Lord died for us, 1965, I realized that I was unworthy of his love. But he made me worthy because his love for me was when he was on the cross. And so the name of the song is Unworthy. Unworthy am I of the grace that he gave, unworthy to hold to his hand, amazed that a king would reach down to a slave. This love I cannot understand. Unworthy, unworthy, a beggar in bondage and alone, but he made me worthy, and now by his grace, his mercy has made me his own. My sorrow and sickness laid stripes on his back. My sins caused the blood that was shed. My faults and my failures have woven a crown of thorns that he wore on his head. Unworthy, unworthy, oh, beggar in bondage and alone, but he made me worthy, and now by his grace, his mercy has made me his own. Unworthy am I of the glory to come, unworthy with angels to sing. I thrill just to know that he loved me so much. A pauper, I walk with the King. Unworthy, unworthy, a beggar in bondage and alone, but he made me worthy, and now by his grace, his mercy has made me his own.
Amen.
All right. Let's open our Bibles to Book of Romans. The Book of Romans, chapter 3. We all have to come to the conclusion, don't we, that we are lost without hope because we are without the opportunity or the means to do anything about our own spiritual condition. We are then unworthy of God's love. But yet God loved us and provided, didn't he? Even though we are unworthy of his love. I'm thankful this morning for a loving God. One who cares for me, even though at one time I did not care enough about myself to even be concerned. We all find ourselves in that condition until we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Romans chapter 3, for there, let's stand in respect to the reading of God's Word this morning. And I will begin with verse 21. And now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, and at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Christ. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what means? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning for the opportunity of being able to come before thee and ask, Lord, that your guidance, your direction, your blessing upon this hour. We pray, Heavenly Father, for the message today, that it go forth as be pleasing unto thee. And speak to hearts, Heavenly Father, concerning their need of Jesus Christ as personal Savior. If they're not saved today, we pray, Lord, that you would speak to each and every one of our hearts concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done for each and every one of us. Lord, we pray your blessing be with me today. Give me clarity of speech and guidance and direction in the word today. We ask in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. You may be seated. This particular passage of scripture, there are many different messages that can be preached from this, just these few verses. But I want to call your attention to just one phrase this morning in this passage of scripture, and that's in verse 25. It's faith in his blood. I don't know how many times I've been told by different individuals that they don't like a bloody religion, that they don't want to even discuss a bloody religion. They don't believe in the blood. They don't believe it was necessary. But in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, we read there, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So not only do we have redemption through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and its application to our lives, but there is also included in that the forgiveness of sin. God forgives us of our sins and redeems us from the curse of sin because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My redemption I have in Christ Jesus is because of the blood. It's because of the blood. Without the blood of Christ being shed on Calvary, there can be no forgiveness of sin. God's not going to forgive us of our sin unless the blood's applied. You see. When we were in Utah, and we spent many years in Utah, that there was a popular saying that came out of California and drifted into the area there, and some were beginning to accept the thought that the blood is not important, but the death of Jesus Christ was what was important. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin through his blood. Jesus Christ could have died many different ways. He could have just drank poison and died, and there'd have been no bloodshed. There could have been other ways that he could have died without any blood being shed. But God requires the shedding of the blood. From the very beginning of the sin of man, it has been a necessity for the blood. God had created man. He'd created man in his own image, we're told there in Genesis. And he created him a living soul. He even gave man a free will to choose. And God created man for the purpose of having fellowship with that man. We read there in Genesis, after the creating of the man, that God walked with him in the cool of the evening in the garden, conversed with him, we might say. And God had said that there was one stipulation for that fellowship to be able to continue. And that was Adam was not to eat of the fruit of the tree that was in the midst of the garden. He was not to eat of that tree. And Eve understood that he was not to eat of that fruit, or they were not to eat of that fruit. But that old devil, that slippery, slimy serpent, went straight to Eve and told her a big lie and said, surely you're not going to die if you eat of that fruit. He's talking physical death. The death that God had promised was a spiritual death, wasn't it? A spiritual death, a separation of fellowship between him and God. Told her a lie. She believed it. She partook of the fruit. She took the fruit to her husband Adam, and he partake of it, that fruit. They ate it. Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived. He knew perfectly well that it was against the will of God for him to eat of that fruit. He knew that, but he did it anyway. And therefore they sinned against the holy God. Now because of Adam's sin, all men are sinners. We are all of the race of Adam. We are all of the descendants of Adam. And therefore Adam brought sin upon the entire race of man. When I was in Bible college, there was a fellow in class with me. He didn't bother to finish college.
But he says once he was saved, he had entered into sinless perfection. In other words, he couldn't sin anymore, he said. I looked at him and I said, "You're just dead. You're just dead." We are all of the race of Adam. We are all sinners. There is none righteous, no, not one, the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're sinners, born into this life. We are sinners. When that baby is born, it's a sinner. It's just that simple. They can't do anything about it, but they're part of the race of Adam. Part of the race of Adam, and sin is upon all men. But praise God, he did not leave Adam and Eve in their nakedness of sin. God didn't leave them there. God does not want to leave any man in his sin. God wants to retrieve man from his sin. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. By clothing them, that animal had to die. Right? That animal had to die. Now, it's in my line of thinking. I can't prove it, but I believe it was probably a lamb. I believe it was a lamb. You say, "Brother Reem, why do you think that?" Because God, if we read down through the scriptures further along, God always used a lamb, didn't he? Why would he use something different then? But that animal had to die. The blood had to be shed. That animal bled. It bled out. The covering was, but this covering that God prepared for them was a temporary thing. It wasn't a permanent situation. It was temporary. One that must be performed each and every year after that. We'll say, "Well, that we didn't hear anything about sacrifice or animal sacrifice until Israel was back in their land and they had to sacrifice." Oh, we did. We heard it many a time down through there. Abel and Cain were required to sacrifice, were they not? Abel's sacrifice was accepted. Cain's was not. Cain was a farmer, and he determined that God should accept a sacrifice of his carrots and cabbages and beets and a few other things that he could put on the altar, and that would be satisfactory. Abel's sacrifice was accepted because he gave an animal sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. Therefore, that was accepted. The shedding of blood was necessary. That shedding of blood, of course, once the final sacrifice, we're told that it was the Lord Jesus Christ. All this, the Old Testament sacrifices down through the years, they were shadows of that which was to come. They were a preview, so to speak, of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's blood is our propitiation, our covering of our sin. God says when he sees the born-again believer, the one who has accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, that sin is upon that individual, that sin is taken away, and the blood is applied, and when the Lord looks upon that individual, he sees the blood. He sees the blood. When God hath set forth to be in a propitiation through faith in his blood, in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. God set forth the understanding here that there was to be a propitiation for sin. And that propitiation is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his blood that is your covering, my covering, for our sin if you have sought the forgiveness of God, if you have asked him forgiveness of your sin, that sin is placed under the blood for God not to bring judgment upon it anymore. It has always been the blood. Take the first Passover, for instance, which was actually performed in the land of Egypt, when God was ready to send the death angel through the land of Egypt. He told the Israelite people, he says, separate unto you a lamb, so many days, and then that lamb is to be slaughtered, and the blood of that lamb is to be caught in the basin, and you're to take a hyssop, and you're to take that blood, and you're to put it on the doorpost and the lintel of the door of the house, and you're to stay inside behind that door. God spake to them through his servant Moses. And then Moses, in turn, telling the Israelite people what God would have them to do, he says, draw out and take you a lamb according to your family, and kill the Passover, and ye shall take a branch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and sprinkle the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of the of his house until the morning. For the Lord shall pass through and smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord shall pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your house to smite you. He did not say, when I see the dead animal, did he? He did not say, put the lamb, dead lamb, in front of the door. God did not say that. He said, put the blood of the lamb upon the lintel and upon the two side posts of the door. And he says, when the death angel passes through and he sees the blood, he will pass over. He will not bring judgment into that household because it's under the blood. That lamb slain was the only type or a shadow of that great Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah declares him to be a lamb brought to the slaughter. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 7. Jehovah redeemed his people by the blood. By the blood. And he is still redeeming people from the penalty of sin by way of the blood, or through the blood. They were told, none of you shall go out the door until the morning. As long as they stayed behind the door, as long as they stayed within that house, they were also behind or under the blood. And the death angel, when he saw the blood, he would pass over them, go on his way, and they were safe from the wrath of God with the blood as their covering. If we have our sin under the blood, if we have confessed that sin and God puts it under the blood, then God's not going to bring judgment upon that sin. He cannot. He will not. Christ is the door, folks, of our salvation. He's our door. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He says, I am the door. If any man enter in by me, is what he's saying, he, that individual, shall be saved. The believer is saved through Jesus Christ, the door into heaven, by way of the blood of Christ. Remember the crown of thorns, the nail pierced hands, the spear pierced back, side, the shredding of his back by the whip, all lead to the bleeding of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shedding of his blood. Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we have propitiation, or a covering. We are covered in his portion. But those outside of the covering, those who have not repented as a sinner, those who have not sought forgiveness of their sin, they're outside. That's like the people in Egypt. If they would have applied the blood to the door, but if they had not gone through the door and entered into the house where they would be behind the blood, if they were outside, they're going to die. They're going to die just as well as the Egyptians would, because they were not behind the door. They were not under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And same thing today, my friend. If that individual has not acknowledged the fact that he is a sinner, if he has not been willing to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to come into his heart and save his soul, and confess that he is a sinner and sought forgiveness of that sin, then he is outside and the death angel would take him, or he's going to die in his sin. Those not under the blood, by the rejection of Christ, are condemned already, we're told in John chapter 3 and verse 18. Well, what about the how and the wherefore redemption? Just what ransom was demanded to set the captive free? During his earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "The Son of Man come not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." There have been those who have been taken captive over different things and in different areas in this world. They have been taken captive. A ransom has been demanded of them. And think back in history here in this United States. You remember the Lindbergh trial? And the baby had been kidnapped. And a demand for ransom was made. And folks, when a ransom is demanded, if that ransom is not paid, then they're not going to retrieve what they have lost. Jesus Christ paid the ransom for you and for me. He paid the ransom price. Paul declared the same truth in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Christ gave himself to pay the ransom demand of God. God demanded a ransom that must be paid to be able to set the captive free. I was a captive. I was a captive in sin. I was a captive in bondage to sin. And therefore, I needed to be set free. Free from the penalty of sin. Free from the power of Satan that he had upon my life as he held me in bondage. Remember, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9. Jesus Christ paid that ransom, and that ransom paid was his blood shed for your sins and mine. The significance of the statement in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28 and in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6 is explained here in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to be make a atonement for your souls,
for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Therefore, we read in the New Testament then, without the shedding of blood is no remission, no forgiveness. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Jesus Christ, the only one in heaven, or the only one upon the earth, who could pay such a ransom price. He's the only one. He had to be the perfect Lamb of God. That Lamb had to be perfect. Remember back in the Old Testament when God told them to take the lamb up for the Passover, that lamb was to be checked out for several days. There was not to be any spot. There was not to be any blemish. In other words, there's no way that there should be a scar on that lamb. The wool should not even been touched by any problem. There should be no disease. There should be no sores upon the skin of that lamb. It had to be a perfect lamb to be able to be the sacrifice. They had to check that lamb out. And Jesus Christ was that perfect lamb for you and for me, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Remember the old hymn, "Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, who he devoted that sacred head for such a worm as I." So important was the blood of Christ for the atonement of sin that Jesus Christ, as our high priest, took his blood, entered into the holy of all holies in heaven, and sprinkled his blood upon the mercy seat there. Why else would Christ have said to Mary, as he came forth from the tomb that resurrection Sunday morning, and Mary met him there in the garden, and he said to her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. I ascend unto my Father and unto your Father, he said. Then later on, a little time later, he said to Thomas, thrust thy hand into my side, your finger into my hand. The reason why he told Mary not to touch him, and why later he could speak to Thomas and say, touch my side and my hand, where the spear pierced my side and where the nails had pierced my hand. The reason why that could be done is the ransom that he had not, the reason why he could, because when he spoke to Mary, he had not yet entered into the Holy of Holies, the place where he could sprinkle his own blood as a sacrificial lamb upon the altar in heaven. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 23 makes this very clear. It says, it was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, the blood, that's the blood of goats and sheep and bulls. But the heavenly things themselves, or those things that are in heaven, with a better sacrifice than these. In other words, the type of, or the shadow of that which was to come. They used the blood of bulls and of goats, and it had to be sprinkled upon the mercy seat there. But the heavenly places, the heavenly things themselves, or the mercy seat in heaven, required a better sacrifice, and that was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. With his own blood he entered into the holy place, not made with hands in heaven, not made with hands, but in heaven. And there he sprinkled his blood upon the mercy seat. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. The Old Testament Passover sacrifice was not complete until the chief priest, the high priest, took the blood of that sacrificial lamb and entered in behind the curtain in the tabernacle and into the what they call the Holy of Holies, and took that blood of that lamb and sprinkled it upon the mercy seat there. And then it was accepted. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was taken into the Holy of Holies in heaven, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained redemption for all. That blood of Jesus Christ is still upon the mercy seat, folks. Still upon the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies of heaven. Capable to cleanse any heart. Capable of cleansing man's heart from sin. Just as much so as it was 2,000 years ago. That blood is just as pure today. It's just as fresh today. It's just as capable of cleansing any individual of their sin if they will put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. So the blood of Jesus Christ is a precious thing. It's a precious thing. The blood is absolutely necessary. And there still is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank God for his precious blood, the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. And man must come to the realization he will never enter heaven. He will never enter into the presence of God until the blood is applied. Till forgiveness is given for his sin. Confesses that he is a sinner, and he asks Jesus Christ to come into his heart, save his soul. The sin must be under the blood. And without the blood, there's no salvation. Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning for the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed upon the cross of Calvary, that through his blood, we, the undeserving, might have eternal life and dwell for eternity in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you just bless now and this. In Christ's name, amen.
I'm going to sing verse 2 of 247. Jesus is calling. 247.
appreciate it. It's good that everybody's with us today. Appreciate everybody being here. Appreciate Brother Ream, Sister Ream being with us today. Pray for them. They're going to be on the road starting Friday.